Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 117 of the Pico Serenity podcast. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Emilson, and joining me, we have my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And this week, we're talking about the season four announcement. We have season four coming in like just under a month at this point. That is paired with some announced fairly significant nerfs to the raid.
Yes, as always.
And then other fun stuff, like the Dragonflight pre-order. We got some new priest talents. I don't know if we're spending much time at all on those, but we got them. Yes. And just other stuff like that. It was really funny because like we missed podcast last week because Anand was on vacation.
I was getting sun, yep.
Nothing happened last week. Like nothing happened last week. So it would have been the most boring episode. We would have had like an hour episode because that's all the content we would have had to talk about. And then this week is just like hit after hit after hit after hit of new stuff. So, before we get into that, Jailer Prog?
Yeah, we're done. Well,
you're done.
I'm done. Well, my guild is done. I wasn't actually there for the kill, but they killed it on Thursday. So nice. We got them right before the big nerfs are coming that we'll talk about. But it's funny. I was thinking back. It's one of like the last end bosses where I was like, got to see it but didn't kill it. And it's been probably since like Kill Jaden that's happened. Like I think I missed Sire Prog, but I missed all of it just because I was on vacation again actually. I got about 150 of our 300 or so pulls, so about half the pulls in on it, but didn't get a chance to kill it. And they got it on Thursday, after adding a little bit of overtime. So we basically added 2 days over the past 2 weeks. So we basically raided, we typically raid Tuesday, Thursday. We added Wednesday, both last week and this week, to our schedule. So an additional 8 hours over the past 2 weeks we raided, but primarily just because in July coming up, we're actually going to miss 2 weeks of raiding just with people being out. Right. Funnily enough, I don't think I might not actually get CE on my character.
Yeah.
Just because of like the timing of season four and how many raid weeks we actually have left. But maybe I'll try and sneak myself in there on one of them. No, we they killed it. It was a
awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. Good.
So for my part, we are working on the jailer still. We have seen the end of phase three. We have not successfully transitioned into phase four yet, just because like we get to the end of phase three and like a minute prior to that, you know, we lose people, or we have people that are, we like miss the Azerite debuff refresh, so instead of doing plus 24% damage, we're doing plus 12%. And that's losing 12% damage across the whole raid is pretty significant.
That is that's a ton of damage. And yeah, I think that's where we had, I think if we look back, I'm just going to pull up our wipe count, like particularly going into like our later pulls, that's literally where we would wipe almost, 50% of the time or 70% of the time was just right around that transition point. But I mean, once you hit, I think we were talking about this right before the show started, but once you hit phase four, if you get into phase four with everybody alive, it's like, you know, 5-6 pulls and you'll kill it. Right. I mean, to be fair, if you have your strat set up and all your positioning good, I think you were telling me you have a little bit of a secret strat coming up. Hopefully that helps.
We stole it from another guild. It's super, super neat. So our initial like phase four strat, we were going to do a big move away from the last defile bait and like set up to do all the mechanics. And like that was, you know, good. Very much in line with some of the timings before people started, before some of the HP nerfs came in. Mm-hmm. And then last night, or actually Friday night, another guild killed it, and they had this really neat strat for phase four, where you go into phase four, and then you move the boss one hexagon, not like one of the big triangles, one hexagon, in order to line up his meteor cleave, so you can get knocked back and not get knocked into a hole. And then you stand still.
Interesting.
And the boss does not move until the decimator comes out and like spawns rubble over him. Uh-huh. And then you move, like, and then you plant again. And so this kill, like, their overall, like, damage and everything is not really that, it's not anything special. Like, they're, yeah. I mean, they got CE, so it's good, but there, it's not anything, like, world shattering. Yeah. And they only get to the first set of torments in phase four, and then the boss is dead. I'm actually really happy with how my team has been progressing, because we've been very, very consistent over the past several raid nights. And so I am hopeful that we'll have the consistency tonight to actually like get multiple phase four pulls and just take advantage of that strat to try and nail down a kill tonight.
Yeah.
There's always like, this is a boss, like a lot of end bosses, I guess it's very easy to throw in phase one. So it's entirely possible we could throw the night away. I really hope that does not happen. I would love to get the kill in tonight, partially because if we do not get the kill in tonight, it will, like, we're not a rankings focused guild, but I still pay attention to them. If we don't get the kill tonight, it's going to completely shatter our ranking. Like, if we get the kill tonight, we'll be like US 120 something. If we get the kill on Friday, we will be around like US 200. Because of how many kills are going to kill it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then we raid Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we'll talk about the nurse a little bit later in the show. But yeah, this seems like another Halandris, similar to like the Halandris nerfs that came in, where like, just there'd be tons of pulls for anybody, or tons of kills for anybody who's got at least a, you know, 100, 150 pulls in on Jailer at this point. So
the kind of story of our progression this tier for my team is we just keep like killing it the night after. And there's like, we're approaching a kill on Anduin. We were really close to a kill. It just kind of threw a knight away. Yeah. And then the nerfs hit, we just went and killed it. And so the same thing happened with Halandris, of course. Like, we were starting to get deeper into the fight, starting to get everything sorted out, getting through phase two, and then just like nerf hammer. So I would really like, for that reason as well, for us to get the kill tonight, because beating this round of nerfs would be nice. Like, obviously the boss has already been nerfed, but this round of nerfs is intense.
Good, definitely good luck for you, or good luck to you on the team. Hopefully you guys get it. And I mean, to be fair, like, I have zero contributions to my guild's kill, so I'm gonna ride their coattails to hopefully see when we do get to raid again. So
kind of related then, I want to jump into Shadowlands Season 4 begins August 2nd. So for North America, that is the Tuesday reset at the beginning of August. Europe starts August 3rd. China starts August 4th. That does not leave us very much time to get the rest of the raid, their CE achievement. Like, normally what we would do is we would, like, kill the boss, take a week off, maybe two in this case because of, like, you know, how long the tier has been. And then go back and get people their CEs and get their mounts. But we're not going to be able to get people their CE. Like, we're going to have to go right back in, basically, in order to try and get our last couple of people their cutting edge achievements. Because we only have, like, if we kill it tonight, we're going to have 3 weeks before CE is no longer available. And the first reclear, like, it's been super heavily nerfed, more so than I think any tier that we've progressed. So it's entirely possible that we could just like speed run the instance, basically. But we can't bet on that. So we have to like plan to go back in fairly quickly to secure another round, another kill for the rest of our CEs.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be the, when we get back, I think I looked at the calendar. I have two resets basically to kill it. So
gotcha.
It'll be close, but season four, we get the old Faded. What is it? Faded is the new affix, and the new Mythic Plus is coming out. There's a couple other things, I think, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But season four, August 2nd, they announced that. So that's when all the titles sort of lock into. So your Mythic Plus titles for season three, and then your PvP titles for season three.
And I do want to mention as well, because I brought up the mounts. The mounts from all tiers this expansion, I guess both Sanctum and Sepulcher, are going to be available in season four. So getting mounts is not an issue. Like, we have a bunch of time left till Dragonflight comes out to work on getting people their mounts. And eye level is going up next year. As far as I know, faded is actually kind of opt-in. So you can do a non-faded raid clear, even if it's faded weak.
Right, yeah.
And that means that, for example, you can just take the higher eye level from next year and then be 30 eye levels over the raid and just do mount farms.
Yeah, just dominate, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering what our guild will do. I mean, I assume we'll go after some of the faded stuff just to sort of maybe just try it out, but...
Right.
I think we've always prioritized, even if we look back at like when there used to be multiple tiers with mount that dropped mounts that sort of stayed alive, we'd go back and farm those raids too, just to make sure like everybody got their mount.
We were doing Jaina clears up until basically the end of BFA. Some of that was sales. Like we were doing Jaina sales up until like the very end, pretty much. But there was also a lot of like getting new people to the guild their mounts. Like we would just do Jaina runs. And some of that because it was super fast to do a Jaina run by the time we got to the end of Nyloga, once they added
skip, yeah.
Yeah, once they added the skip and you could just like go straight to Jaina and use your corruption to just dumpster her.
Yeah, where you actually kill the elemental at the end sometimes.
Yeah.
Instead of just keeping it alive. That was a good time. So so cool. So I guess in other news, so season 4 coming up, but in other news, they did release the priest tree on Friday evening, or late afternoon Friday here on the East Coast. And I mean, that's another talent tree that came out. This has been a month since they did the DK and Druid trees. So priest is out now. Lots of discussion, we'll say, across the board, but looks to be more. I think we talked about this a little bit, where we heard some rumblings that like the DK tree was very much one of the first ones they did. Doesn't really reflect their current methodology or current thinking of how they want to look at this, which is like, it's not just going to be like three disparate trees, one for each spec, right? And you can kind of cut across. This priest tree looks much more like the druid tree in that it like, there's a lot of overlap, a lot of ways to sort of get different places as you work on it and you work through it. So no, it's interesting. I haven't really spent much time looking at it. To be fair, priest is probably one of the healers I know the least about. Other than I know that PI still exists, so that's been fun reading WoW Twitter.
That's one of the things that has come out is PI still exists. There is, and you actually have to take PI to take priest grip, leap of faith. Yep. And somewhere in here, there's here we go, Twins of the Sun Priestess. This is PI
on yourself.
On yourself when you give it to someone else is part of the core tree, and you have to actually take that talent in order to go down and get like mind games. So it seems reasonably likely that you're going to end up like, it's going to feel less bad because you're going to get to keep your PI and give it away.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's still all of this stuff that people don't like about like rankings and such with PI is still going to persist because PI still exists.
Yeah.
So,
as a spell. Yeah. I don't really have much to say on it other than it's just another class tree. So that leaves what? So we've gotten three of the eight class. There's eight classes in WoW now.
There's 12.
There's 12 classes.
Gonna be 13. Yes.
Okay. I'm all okay. So we've gotten not even half of them, not even a quarter. Well, I guess just about a quarter of them. With some of the other news coming out, and we'll talk about that in a second. I guess that's more of another topic, but with Dragonflight sort of getting closer and closer to actual release, they need to speed up these talent tree releases. Just slightly.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like I have to imagine that there's a bunch of them that they were working on. Like the DK one was obviously very early. The bear one was maybe a little bit farther along. The priest one, from my understanding, people like, except for PI. I mean, even PI has its fans. They're usually not mythic raiders, but it has its fans, right?
And so
I have to imagine that like in the past month they've taken a bunch of them from like kind of that DK state to where priest is, and so maybe we'll start getting like a talent tree a week or something until we hit alpha, or two talent trees a week until we hit alpha, although who knows when Alpha is, right?
Yeah. 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 Hopefully soon, we'll say. But yeah, Priest Tree's out. So if you play a Priest, which I mean, I don't think you do either, check it out. Hopefully we get a Monk one shortly. Hopefully we're not the last class to get it like we typically are.
Yeah.
So next up, still in the WoW world, but a little bit off the beaten path, is a little update on Wrath of the Lich King Classic. So they announced Wrath of the Lich King Classic coming at the end of this year. And they did a quick sort of post on some of the changes they're going to be making. One of those changes is they are going to make Naxx harder. So if you guys didn't play Wrath or didn't know that, at the start of Wrath, the first raid tier in Wrath was actually Naxx Aramis. So they basically removed Naxx 40, the 40-man version that was the last raid in Classic, and moved it into Northrend, basically.
Yeah.
And it was the opening tier, and it was a joke. You literally could walk in there. It was almost like it was almost like LFR raiding, to be fair. If you were any sort of, you know, organized group, you basically blew through that place very, very quickly. There was no real progression. So they did make a post. They're going to buff the damage and health to some of the monsters in Naxx, making it just harder, which is a good thing, because like, it was funny. I remember Wrath is actually probably one of my, if other than MOP, it's probably my second favorite expansion. So I'm actually really excited to play. My shaman is level 68. So we are closing in on 70 nice. To be ready.
Hey, my rogue is up to level 59. I am in Hellfire Peninsula now.
Nice.
I did take a slight detour to go and level up my fishing and cooking.
Okay. Oh yeah.
So I've
largely ignored professions, so it'll be fun to go back. But no, so I'm really excited about playing playing this. Hopefully it doesn't sort of overlap too much with Dragonflay, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
But no, good that they're up in the difficulty of Naxx for the opening tier. So
one last piece of context on that. Naxx in Wrath actually was nerfed from the relative scaling of Naxx in Classic. And that was intentional because Naxx in Classic there was just not a lot of people that saw the raid. And so they wanted to make sure it was like accessible, and they just overdid it. They really overdid it. So this is like less, like it's going to be still nerfed, maybe some from where Wrath, the classic Naxx was, but not as severely. Basically, we don't have actual numbers yet, so we're guessing.
Yeah, yeah, but it'll be interesting to see exactly how hard it is. It'll be fun. Naxx is a fun raid, just in general. So. Moving on to some probably non-specific WoW news, non-specific sort of WoW news, but still does impact it, is Blizzard announced the acquisition of a studio. So Proletariat Incorporated, that's how you say that. They were the main developers behind Spellbreak, which, if you don't know, was a battle royale where you picked up spells and you fought with spells instead of like guns or anything like that. I believe that was the game, right? It was actually a really fun game if you haven't played it. But in any event, Blizzard picked them up, and specifically to bolster the World of Warcraft team. So it's like 100 or so person studio. Blizzard picked them up just to sort of bolster their sort of their development team here for WoW, which is both good and bad news, we'll say. It's good news that they have more people working on WoW, which is always good. It means that they're still investing in the game. Bad news that they had to acquire an entire studio, or felt they needed to.
Yeah.
To keep pace with what they're doing. So
on the one hand, like I don't know if I would say had to, right? Like they could go through the process of hiring, but hiring 100 people is slower than acquiring a studio, right? This is like what they call acqui-hiring. Like where you acquire, and this happens a lot with startups. You'll have a startup that gets acquired, and the sole purpose of acquiring it is to get the personnel.
Exactly.
You want to hire the people, and it's just easier to acquire the startup than it is to hire them all individually. And so that's kind of what's happening here. I am really curious if we're going to see this result in faster, more frequent patches next expansion, Because onboarding these people, like, it's going to take time for them to actually get up to speed. So they're not going to get to contribute as much to Dragonflight.
Yeah, probably to like the .0 and probably .1 release, they'll probably see limited involvement, right? But like, yeah, probably by .2, you know,
like that one, I would say they probably have a decent bit of involvement, but like .0, like, yeah, they're going to be dealing with the transition, dealing with slowly shutting down Spellbreak. So they're going to have less involvement in 10.0. I would guess.
Yeah. So it's good news. John Haidt, who is the general manager of World of Warcraft, put out a blue post on like what it means and some of the corporate speak for why Blizzard's excited. So yeah, new studio, new manpower. They're still investing in WoW. So at least we'll get 10.0. Probably this means we'll get an 11.0 in a couple years. So good news on that front. Next up is Blizzard actually put out a blog post on the Halandris bug and sort of what happened, so I love this stuff personally. Like, yeah, I love the behind the scenes, like exactly what happened or why it happened. I wish more companies or just in general, more studios would do this in terms of like a bug that players notice and know about and what happened. So if you don't know, there was a visual bug on Halandris where in phase 3 of Halandris, the planet cracker beams and the bombs would essentially disappear. They wouldn't be rendered to the player in their game client. And so you would die to invisible world cracker beams or planet cracker beams, I'm sorry. And you wouldn't be able to pick up the bomb or see the bombs. They just explode. And it took Blizzard, I mean, probably like, what is it? Like 2 or so weeks to fully deploy a bunch of fixes. And so they give a nice little write-up of exactly what happened. But the interesting thing is that the problem was, is they weren't able to reproduce the bug on their systems. And they didn't know what was happening. And what they found was it was actually in the way that they apply the hotfixes or push the hotfixes out. Whatever code that packages up the hotfixes and sends it out to the CDN that eventually goes to the players was doing something that actually caused a render error in specifically the Halandris encounter. So everything they were doing, like the game data was all right, the game was all correct from their testing. The problem was they weren't actually receiving the hotfixes the same way players were. So they weren't seeing that issue.
Right. If you just ran the game without, like, if you had the game, like, maybe if you downloaded it fresh after the breakage, right, it would have worked fine. At least in their dev stuff, where they're running it, they're not like getting a bunch of hotfixes to the base game. They're getting the game as it exists now.
Yeah.
The bug doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So you had to go through the process of receiving some hotfixes in order to actually have the bug occur.
Exactly, yeah. And they said it was actually a single server or single engineer was like the one that dove into it, which to be fair is probably how most of these issues get fixed at Blizzard.
One engineer was able to reproduce it because they had a machine that had hotfixes applied.
Yeah.
So they were able to actually like debug it. And that's kind of wild.
So funny. Yeah, so funny that like it was not even within the game itself. It was just the way they apply those hotfixes that caused the bug. So that is the Halandris thing. So I would say, you know, read the post for sure. It gives a little bit more detail than what we could talk about. But interesting behind the scenes look at exactly what was there. So next up is a couple of tuning season 4 tuning pieces, particularly around the shrouded affix and some of the dungeon tuning that we'll talk about quickly. So shrouded, the only thing here is the so if you remember shrouded, basically there are disguised mobs when you engage in combat they'll turn into a dreadlord. When you defeat that dreadlord you gain a stack of a buff, and you basically get to pick what stack of the buff you want at the start of a dungeon. It's either crit, haste, verse, or mastery. And every time you kill a dreadlord, you get another stack of it. They changed the versatility buff here. Rather than being 2% per stack, they reduce it to 1% per stack. So probably means that, I mean, I still think versatility is probably one of the correct choice for most classes, particularly as you push keys. Damage reduction is huge. But what this means
is that instead of it being 20% DR, when you get max stacks, which is going to take most of the dungeon run to get to max stacks. Instead of taking you to 20% damage reduction and 40% increased damage, it's going to take you to 20% increased damage and 10% damage reduction. Yep. Which is a bit of a nerf.
Yeah. Yeah, slight nerf. So yeah, and then they also did a tuning pass on Karazhan, Return to Karazhan, sorry, and Iron Docks in terms of the season, the Mythic Plus dungeons coming up. Various bosses got some damage adjustments, either increases or decreases, along with some trash tuning, particularly in Karazhan, which Karazhan trash is, there's notably a lot of it, and notably it's somewhat difficult in certain spaces. You can check out Wowhead or even the Blue Post for some of the hotfix notes there, but it looks like we're getting closer and closer to season four, so they're sort of doing some fine tuning to those dungeons. So notably missing is Grimrail Depot in terms of tuning, just because that's the perfect dungeon. And I'm really excited to be doing that all next season. Oh man. All right, I think that's it in terms of stuff we want to talk about before we jump into our main topics today. I don't know if you had any final thoughts before we jump in there.
I want to hear real quick. Do you think we're going to get raid testing for the Fated Affixes before it goes live?
Oh, good question. No. I think they're just going to let it fly and let it. So my prediction, to be fair, is that. Oh gosh. Okay. So I was going to say the first Fated Affix week is going to be. They might not have announced this, so they did. I'm an idiot, but I would have assumed it was going to be Sepulchre, basically. So August 2nd. Sepulchre being the thing, but
I don't think they announced it, but we can find out.
I think as we sort of talk through this, it might make better sense for them to just leave to turn Fated on for Castlenathria.
Yeah. They did not announce it as far as I can tell.
Gotcha.
Not Sepulchre first. I hope they do like Castlenathria Sanctum Sepulchre, Castlenathria Sanctum Sepulchre.
That gives
us a nice at least 2 week break from Sepulchre before going back in there.
What do you mean? We're farming mounts. We'll be in there all the time. Hopefully we'll have the skip by then. Doesn't skip anything. So dumb.
One of the really nice things that Blizzard did in BFA was making it so all the mounts, it just drops two instead of one.
Yeah.
That makes it so much easier to get everybody their mounts. Like everybody on our team already had that raided with us in Sanctum, even during farm in Sanctum, has the Sylvanas mount already.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we got to the point where like we have one member of our raid team that it's a thing with him, but he will not learn end boss mounts. He probably has every end boss mount since they started dropping in his bags. And he'll typically trade it away if he gets it early. And yeah, he even got one, which is funny. So still unlearned in his bag though. I can tell you that. So, I don't think we get raid testing. I don't know about you. And I think we see Nathria first. The more I sort of put a little thought into it, I think we see Nathria first.
I think that's most likely. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess on to our main topic. So we've sort of hinted at a couple things coming up. We'll talk about the nerfs here in a couple of minutes. That'll probably be what we wrap up with. There's some cool trade stuff happening, auction house stuff happening in 9.2.7 or 9.2.7, which is the season 4 patch, I believe. And then also the big news, and sort of we'll kick this off with, is they released Dragonflight pre-orders. So they threw up this week the pre-order for Dragonflight. All the same. So it's the typical, you have your three levels. You have your standard version, your version that has a couple extra things, and your version that has everything. So put up Dragonflight pre-orders with the fun text that said the game will be released on or before December 31st, 2022. So by the end of this year, We will be playing Dragonflight, they say, which seems soon.
Like, we don't have alpha. It's July. We're like less than 6 months away from this release date.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what so the other thing that goes with this before we get any further, there was also a 10.0 patch pushed to the CDN testing branch. So we talked a little bit about CDN stuff before, and basically what this means is that they're pushing something up to the testing branch to be able to do internal tests, to run 10.0, the patch, with internal tests. This doesn't mean that alpha is ready to start right away. It does mean that they're approaching the point that you could actually run 10.0 and log in and do new content and stuff like that. Cause otherwise there's no reason to do this kind of deployment.
Yeah.
So who knows?
We'll see. Well, yeah. I mean, we'll see what they're doing. I think they typically have taken about probably 7 or 8 months once alpha goes to the public to release the expansion.
Yeah.
So the idea that, this one, it's already July and they're going to get this out by the end of the year seems tight. I think the other thing that some people have referenced though is based on what they've actually announced for Dragonflight, there's not a lot of brand new things coming with Dragonflight.
Systems, right? System stuff is notably absent. Yeah.
The biggest thing is going to be the talent revamp, which they're slowly getting out. We're going to, we're hopefully going to have a ton of time to chest that, but there's not a Azerite armor system that's brand new, or islands that are sort of totally new and how they're doing things.
It's there's the dragon riding, which is new. And there's the talent stuff that you mentioned.
Yep.
And there's the trade skill revamps.
Yep.
And then other than that, it's just an extra large content patch. It's got, raid, 4 or 5 outdoor zones. Whereas normally when we get a raid patch, right? It's a raid and an outdoor zone and maybe a dungeon.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's the other thing. 8 dungeons.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of stuff there, but there's not a lot of systems, which typically are the things they want to put the most time into testing, right? And typically the things that they want the most feedback on, because it's easier to, I think, do dungeon tuning or do tuning and counter tuning, I guess you could say, just across the board. Much more difficult to change a system like Azerite, which they never did. Well, which they slowly did and basically made
the Azerite system didn't get beta tested basically until 2 weeks before the expansion.
Yeah, which is a good time.
Yeah, great time. Wow. Great time. There's still years later pins in the Brewmaster moderator chat from when I was doing all the math and sims for the defensive Brewmaster traits for Azerite armor, where I did it all and then they reworked it all, and then I did it all again and they reworked it all a second time.
Oh jeez. That's hilarious.
That's great.
It's great. Yeah. No, they So Dragonflight, it pushed the CDN, which I think is huge. It means we're getting closer to external testing. And then, they announced all the pre-order. They also have a physical collector's edition that's out, which is, funnily enough, this might be the first time they're doing this. I don't know. But if you get the digital version of the game and then buy the collector's edition, they actually will refund you the difference, right? I think the expansion is $30 or $40. And if you buy the collector's edition, you get that money off of it. So you can still play day one versus having to wait for them to ship you a key with all the stuff. So,
yeah, I don't usually buy the physical ones. That is a neat thing. I'm still probably not going to buy the physical one.
No, I thought it's funny. I there was a split second where I'm like, maybe I'll do the physical version. But I think I would have wanted to start with original WoW. If I had bought the collector's edition of the original game and the collector's edition of BC, I probably would have kept doing the physical copy stuff.
Yeah.
Just because I think it's cool to own all of them. I don't know. I wouldn't want to start now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm also just not a collector. It's not
physical things. Yeah.
Yeah. I've played Magic and stuff like that. When I play Magic, I'm not a collector. I still have a collection, but it's the cards that I actually used. not yeah. like collecting for the sake of collecting. So
yeah. Yeah. So I guess we're all on Alpha Watch now, but you can pre-order yeah. your fun. I will say, just one real quick, the reward, or like the additional stuff you get for like some of the high, I guess it's like the epic version of the game. The mount I think is actually really cool. It's yep. like a green dragon, but it's like got tree stuff growing on it. That's really cool. The pets are always fun.
And you get a level 60 boost.
Yeah, you do get a level 60 boost, which is nice. And oh, you get dragon wings, transmogable.
Yeah,
they replace your cloak. They're not animated, which is a downside. I think they look very stiff.
Yeah,
I of course purchased like whatever the most expensive digital one was because I want all. I like that stupid pet stuff.
Yeah, just so
I have it. But no, yeah. The mount itself is actually really cool. So,
yep. I now have a level. I won't say morally opposed to boosts because I've used boosts before.
Yeah.
But at one point in time, I had like 4 max level boosts sitting on my account unused.
Yeah. I typically use mine on the dumbest thing. So I have a bunch of like max level characters only logged into once on various servers because I'm like, oh yeah, maybe I'll play on this server with some of my friends. Like after I level my main, they either all quit or to be fair, a lot of them just move to my server that I'm playing on anyway. Cause they're like, you'll end up playing this the longest. So we'll just move to you. And I'm like, cool. So I've wasted this. Awesome.
Nice.
But yeah, no, it's
funny. I think I used a bunch of my max level boosts to level tanks. Like I switched servers. It didn't want to level a second time. And didn't want to pay for transfers while I already had these new character or these character boosts. So I just boosted characters. And now all of those are on actually my old realm. So, but that was during BFA that I did. That's
awesome.
So.
That is awesome. But cool. Yeah. So Dragonflight's got at least a end release date, which is by the end of this year, it'll be out. That's sort of why I also mentioned Wrath is sort of releasing generally at the same time this fall too. Wrath Classic. So
a little bit
of overlap. Which sort of sucks.
I suspect, this is my guess, I guess my prediction will say, we'll see if I'm right. We've got the Wrath release window within, I don't know if we have a specific day or within just a month. I believe it's September. It's end of September this year. I think we will see a end of November release date for Dragonflight. End of November, beginning of December. And the reason for that is, that lets them get through Wrath launch, lets people play Naxxramas, level up, play Naxxramas, get mostly done, and then just jump straight into Dragonflight. Like, they get through Naxx, they start getting a little bit bored, and it's like, all right, Dragonflight's out now.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that too. And it does give them a little bit of a, like, what's going to suck though, and I feel like we just went through this with another raid release, is like, the only problem with early December or late November releases is like raid release time is like right over the holiday. So it's like, if you play retail, there's like, you basically level and like you're doing dungeons because like you're half your raid team is traveling or away. Or,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
doing stuff for
the holidays there. So
that's kind of rough, but it's also like, I would rather have the new expansion before the holidays than after. Right.
Oh yeah. True. True.
So Berthy, you're in chat. Says Naxxramas is going to be harder this time. Yes, we did talk about that. Naxxramas is getting buffed. From my conversations with the people that do like speed runs in TPC Classic, even like with a 30% buff to just flat damage and health buff to the entire raid, they're still going to have people like speed running it the moment it opens. Will regular old, like they call them dad guilds, be speedrunning it the moment it opens? No. And they didn't speedrun Sunwell the moment it opened either. But they did clear it pretty quickly. Like the rate at which people cleared Sunwell is dramatically higher in TPC Classic than in original TPC. Like it was a guild breaker in original TPC. And this time around, like people know what they're doing and people do wipe to Muru. That's for sure. I think we don't have stats on that at Warcraft Flags, but I'm pretty sure if we did stats on like how many wipes people had per boss, that would be the outlier is Muru.
Yeah. Yeah, it's typically the wall. Yeah.
Or was and, the wall. They clear it like all the time. And so with Wrath Classic, like people, again, like just being so much more knowledgeable, having weak auras and things like that. Like imagine doing, what's the boss where you have to do the safety dance?
Hygen, yeah.
Yeah, you do Hygen, and this time like people have a weak aura that tells them how to do the safety dance, right?
Yeah. God, Hygen. Hygen's the first WoW fight I had with someone over voice, with my raid leader, actually, where like... I guess we'll tell a little story because we have a little time, I think. But the way Hygen worked is like, so you had to do the dance, right? But there was also, if you don't know, there's also a tunnel that that three or four players got teleported to that had a bunch of like eye stalks that mind flayed you. You right. had to basically run down the tunnel and get back to the group before the dance started, before the next part of the mechanic. And like, there was always this like, what we found, and people didn't realize this, was that there was always one portal that Hygen did where like, she would, or he, I don't know if it was a he or she, but the boss would portal a set of players late, meaning like basically like 10 seconds before the dance started. Those players were dead no matter what. And my raid leader went off on me and one other person, like, why can't you like run? Like you can stun the eye stalks, don't kill them, like move quickly, do more damage, yeah. all this fun stuff. And I'm like, look at this video. I was like, I had 12 seconds from the time I got ported to run back. Even if I didn't touch anything, I would still not make it. And like, we got in this fight for probably like 10 minutes. He never Beautiful. Said I was right. And to this day, Mr. Ore, you were wrong. So yeah.
And this but is why you're called Pals for Life.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we don't talk much. after a couple other incidents. So in any event, yeah, Nax will be harder, but yeah, still shouldn't be too much of an issue, but it's nice that it's not the true pushover it was, even at the start of original Wrath. So.
Yeah.
Cool. So here's a big topic I think maybe slightly excited about, but yes. Stuff coming inside of patch 9.2.7. So regardless of season 4 coming, there's some auction house changes coming. The biggest one is that commodities, such as herbs and flasks and things like that, will now be region-wide versus server-wide. So a couple of expansions ago, they actually combined the Horde and Alliance auction houses on one server. So yep. you basically saw the same thing. No really need to use the neutral auction houses anymore to transfer stuff or to.
In fact, neutral auction houses just became another auction house, auction right? House, like yeah. you could go to Gadget Stand and just use the auction house.
Yeah, exactly. But now what the Blizzard's doing with 9.2.7. Is they are now basically creating region-wide commodities auction houses. So gems, herbs, flasks, consumables, all that type of stuff will now be region-wide. So you will post herbs and anybody in your region, so North America, Europe, Asia, will be able to buy those. And the biggest thing here is this will almost undoubtedly help smaller servers. Yeah. So I think we talked about this as like one of the driving forces for you guys to transfer was the lack of just materials to make legendaries or just lack of materials in general to raid on your server. So
yeah, legendaries were the big one just because of the incredibly high materials requirements for getting a highly high ranked legendary. But yeah, commodities in general were more expensive on Turalyon than they are in Area 52. So like it's been a continued like net gold gain from playing on a bigger server. And in particular, in 9.0, when we were trying to do legendaries, we got to the point that we could craft all of our guild's rank 2 legendaries and then just ran out of mats. Like, there weren't materials on the server, on the auction house. We could not buy them. So the only option was basically, we had two options. One option was to require people to go out and grind bare asses to get leather. And option two was to do guild bank transfers from the large servers to Turalyon, because the large servers had not just materials, but cheap materials, cheaper than Turalyon. So, and then that progressed to being, well, the big servers also just have rank 4s. So if we're going to do that, why spend all the gold to level through rank 3 to reach rank 4 when we could just buy the rank 4 legendary? So that's what happened. We just like did guild bank transfers of rank 4 legendaries from places like Area 52 and Illidan in order to get our legendaries in 9.0, because that was cheaper.
Yeah, which is crazy.
If we had had this, if just materials had been region-wide, that wouldn't have been an issue. Legendaries would still have been too expensive. Like, just flat out still have been too expensive. But we had tons of gold in the guild bank from doing sales in Nyalotha, which is how we did the guild bank transfers. Mm-hmm. So we could have still, at that point, afforded just buying materials and crafting the legendaries and leveling it up. And, like, maybe now I actually might go and finish up leveling the rank fours and, like, do that. I don't know if I'm going to, because it's still, like, pretty expensive. But yeah. Especially after all the nerfs to the crafting cost, I might actually do it now. But yeah, like, we ended up transferring from Turalyon to Area 52 for Sepulcher. And we did that because of the continued costs of legendaries, basically. Like, legendaries were the driving force. We got a cheaper feast in 9.2, so that wasn't really, like, food wasn't an issue. There were enough herbs that, like, flasks and potions weren't really an issue. They were more expensive, but not by that much. And some of them were actually less expensive. It was legendaries. It was just, like, going and looking at it and going, we're going to be doing guild bank transfers again. But this time, like, in 9.0 and 9.1, we did guild bank transfers kind of on the back of sales infrastructure, like cross-realm sales. And with the cross-realm sales ban, a lot of that stuff shut down. So, like, the person that was doing the guild bank transfers was doing them as part of a sales community. So they were just, like, basically using space in the guild bank that was already being transferred.
Yeah.
Or being transferred, and we, like, effectively paid for space in it, and they were double dipping in it. And 9.2, it was like, well, we're going to have to do the guild bank transfers ourselves with no sales to recoup the costs. And so we just ended up basically paying out of pocket. We used some guild bank gold. We used some, like, personal gold, some personal money to just, like, do mass transfers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all of that could have been avoided if legendaries weren't so insanely expensive in the first place. But it also could have been avoided if we had a cross realm commodities auction house. Yeah. So I do want to mention as well, like, I've been saying commodity a lot. There's a distinction in the auction house right now. You can go, I don't want to load it up in game right now, but you can go and you can look at different items, and there's two different kinds of things, two different UIs that show. If you go and you pull up, like, a potion, that's a commodity. There's a UI that just shows you, it doesn't let you buy specific ones. It just shows you, like, here's all of the potions that are listed. And you enter the amount that you want to buy in a box, and you hit buy, and that's it. You're done. And then there are non-commodities, like individual items. This is where you go to, like, you look at a legendary precursor, or you look at a bind on equip item, like actual gear. That stuff is, or crafted items are a good example. You go and you click on one of those, and it gives you a list of all of them with all, like, for crafted gear, there's all the different, like, stats that can be on it, the different bonus, like, crafting bonuses that can be on it, and all of that stuff. And you can buy an individual one. You don't have to buy the cheapest one. You don't have to buy the one that is at the top. You can go through the list and, like, just buy, you know, the one specifically that has the stats you want, or the bonus that you want. And that is not going to be cross realm. That is still going to be per realm.
Gotcha.
But it's going to be a lot easier if you just want to, like, if you're on a small realm, you're going to be more, it's going to be more realistic to just craft things yourself.
Yeah.
Because you will be able to afford the commodities, afford the leather and the cloth and the ore and all of the stuff that goes into crafting that stuff. It's, this is a huge net positive. It's not good. There's one group of people that it's not good for, and that is the auction house goblins. It will now be literally impossible to do a price reset on a commodity.
Ooh, maybe not.
Well, I mean, the amount of gold that would be required to effectively do a price reset is insane.
Yeah.
Like, many times gold cap to do it across all servers. Because you have to reset all servers in the region at once, effectively, now.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so it'd be multiple gold caps worth of probably material to do it, but...
And just the rate at which stuff is going to be posted, like, there's,
that's true, yeah,
you know, 60 or something servers in the North American region, and just people constantly like posting new stuff means that resetting, I don't think, is practically going to be possible. So yeah, they can suck it up because this is a huge benefit for literally everyone else.
Yeah, exactly. No, it'll be huge. So I mean, to be fair, I do not buy anything off the auction house anymore, really. Mostly I post it. I just run mission tables, and anything extra I get, I post. So, but no, this will be good for, yeah, like we said, all the smaller servers and stuff like that. So, the other thing coming along with this change from an auction house perspective is Blizzard is changing the trade chat. So the trade chat channel that's a part of servers, they're basically adding another channel called Trade Services. So right now, Trade Chat, if you have it on a larger server, it's a ton of spam, particularly around people selling either, it's like people selling items, people selling like services, boosts, all that fun stuff, right? And now what they're doing is they're actually adding a trade chat to split that. So like basically the new trade chat will be for any sort of raid or dungeon activities, meaning like if you want to sell boosting people through a dungeon, like Mythic Plus, or if you want to sell like a raid, you know, raid drops, stuff like that, you'll have a new channel in the UI to do that from, where the original trade chat will probably stay, you know, or would stay for things like profession trading, selling sort of raw material, stuff like that, if you want to do that through there. So yeah, another change that Blizzard is making just from a UI perspective.
This is another good one. It's going to mean that people that aren't interested in buying stuff can just like opt out of this channel. Like I don't buy sales. Like, yeah. I just don't. I've run sales. I don't buy sales. I'll just run it with my guild, right?
So yeah, exactly, yeah.
I would opt out of this. And there's an interesting thing here. So the good actors, the people acting in good faith, are going to opt out of, are going to use this channel. They're going to post in this channel. It's going to move it out of trade chat. The spam bots are probably not. Because people are going to be opting out of this channel, and they're already going to get banned anyway, so yeah, exactly. They don't care. But what this does mean is that there's now an avenue for very quickly identifying the like bad actors and getting them muted, because they're going to be posting in trade, and now this kind of chatter is banned in trade chat.
Yeah,
like you have to post it in the trade services section. They did also, like, I want to reiterate one thing that you did mention, but I want to reiterate it. Trade chat is for the buying and selling of items and professions. So if you're like, you know, blacksmith, you know, looking for work kind of thing, that still goes in the existing trade chat. That's profession stuff. It's just the sales, basically, of raids, dungeons, PvP that goes in the trade services section.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that is the one change they made to the UI from a chat channel perspective. So, I mean, a couple of good changes, I'd say. I mean, to be fair, this, it's funny, 9.2.7, I think, is turning into probably a very good weird patch for them, right? Like,
yeah,
like the auction house, even like regardless of the other stuff that's coming out, right? Like the new season 4 affixes and like the idea of the Mythic Plus refresh and stuff like that. That's all cool, but even this auction house stuff is really good. Like, I mean, this might go down as the best patch
one of the best minor patches.
Yeah, in a while.
In modern WoW, yeah. This is just a bunch of stuff that's been a long time coming. Like 9.2.5 was also a really good like minor patch.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be nice. It's going to be really nice.
Exactly. So now I guess we get into our final topic of the day. More nerfs, more massive nerfs to support. I feel like literally we've said this every
single time. Yeah.
Like it's been like a month straight of Blizzard just like cutting bosses down, which I think, I mean, before we get into the nerfs, I think I'd wanted to talk a little bit just about like the timing of this. We've said, I think, a couple times, just on the podcast, like this is a very long tier, just in general.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. it's multiple 100 plus pull bosses, which is something you generally don't see. Like, typically it's like the last boss and maybe one other boss that you'll hit 100 plus pulls. In this case, it was Elandris before the massive nerfs. It was Anduin. It was Rigelon. Yeah. It was the Jailer, of course. And so, like, it just in terms of like the amount of wipes and the amount of time you're going to put in this raid, it was long already. I mean, we talked about it too. I think 2 weeks ago, we were like, if this was Sanctum, we would have been killing Sylvanas like right. 2-3 weeks ago.
This is right now, we are in week 17 of Mythic.
It's crazy long.
Over four months of Mythic progression. And like I mentioned earlier, if my team kills it tonight, we will be in the US 120s. Like, that is, I don't know what that corresponds. I can actually pull up our team page. What's our
world, like, 400, 500 ish or something, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's just like completely different from every tier prior, where like this tier, yeah, if we kill it right now, we'll be like world 400, which is a huge, huge jump from where we were in like Sanctum, where it's like world 600, right? For killing it on week 13.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's definitely has not been cleared as much. And I think the other thing too is season 4 just seems coming quick, right?
Yeah.
So
I think August is in line with our predictions.
Yeah.
I think that we are, well, let's get into these nerfs because there's some big ones, and then we can talk about like the scale of the overall nerfs to the instance.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll run through these top to bottom. So, and the other thing too, the interesting part about these nerfs too, is that these aren't just to Mythic, right? Like, there are nerfs to all difficulties, which is crazy. So
there are a bunch of actually like heroic guilds, so they're still working on AOTC. And like, that's not like, no shade. Like, the Jailer's kind of hard. Just kind of, it's hard in a way that is not really typical for a heroic fight as well. It's very one-shotty, which is normally a Mythic thing. Like, one-shotty stuff is much more the realm of Mythic. Like, you do the mechanic right or you die.
Right.
Because of the holes, there's a whole lot of just like, you do the mechanic right or you die, even in heroic and normal.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So no, it is a ton of nerfs to basically all of the different difficulties. So let's sort of look through this a little bit. So the first thing up is Anduin, of course. And so Anduin, basically Anduin's Hope and Anduin's Doubt, which are the Healy and damage adds down phase. They had their health again reduced by 20% on heroic and normal difficulties. So another 20% health reduction, which is big. They've also reduced the movement speed of Anduin's Hope by 15% on heroic and normal, meaning you now have to heal less and you have more time to heal, which is good. Yeah. And they've also reduced the damage of Grim Fate on mythic difficulty from 200% to 150%. Grim Fate is the final phase circles, right? Or am I thinking of something different?
I actually don't know because he didn't specify. I'm thinking that's actually the cast speed buff that the adds in phase 2 get. But I'm actually pulling up the dungeon journal now because I don't remember. And I want to find out. I think it might be the cast speed thing. Let's see. Where's Mythic Mechanics? All right, that's
not helpful. Oh, right. It's when you kill one, it's the empowerment of the others. It's the haste buff. Yeah. You're right. The cast speed buff. Yep.
Okay.
You're right. Yeah, so they reduce the haste then of the adds, the big adds.
On which just so makes, like, when you get to the fourth one, right, instead of it being at 600% increased cast speed, it's now going to be at 450%, which is still fast, but it takes the cast down from, like, a 10-second cast or whatever, or an 8-second cast. Instead of it being like a 0.7 second cast, it's going to be like a 1.5 second cast, which is very reasonable to actually just kick.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, so that is the nerfs on Anduin, which are, I mean, they'll definitely help the normal and heroic guilds, right? Deal with the add phases, which is probably one of the more difficult things to coordinate.
Yeah. The Grim Fate change will make Mythic less frustrating. I'm actually, like, that change is going to be nice for us doing reclears, right? Yeah. Because that's one of the very annoying things is like you get to the end of phase two and then someone just like misses their pre-stun of the Grim Fate or the Grim Reflection. Yeah. And you just get feared and die.
Yeah. Just sucks.
Yeah.
Next up is Lords of Dread. They had a health nerf to the boss on all difficulties, so 10% less health on Lords of Dread just speeds that fight up, even more. And then also the Swarm of Decay and Swarm of Darkness damage was reduced by 15% on heroic difficulty, so the intermission phase damage has been reduced, which is
that damage was damage. Still super high for heroic. Yeah. Like guild pugs were already doing Rigolon first, and I usually didn't stick around for Lords of Dread because the boss doesn't drop anything for me while I was pugging it. But the damage on it was still really high. You would have people that would like four heal, like a pug would four heal Rigolon, and they'd go to Lords of Dread and they'd six heal it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Those intermission phases still ate a ton of damage. So good nerfs gets, you know, guilds over the hump. Particularly, I mean, the health nerf will help if you're still progressing to Lords of Dread.
Yeah.
On Mythic. Rigolon also received similar nerfs. Boss health reduced by 10% on all difficulties for Rigolon. This basically now puts it where you can probably lose a person or two over the course of Rigolon and not, at least on Mythic, and not be sort of super tight on the enrage. I think this is probably a second or third health nerf at this point to this boss. So
yeah, I think it's the third one, because they did one when they also fixed the Warlock thing, and they did a second one to compensate for the Warlock thing, and this would be the third one.
Yeah. And then also the damage of Dark Eruption was reduced by 75% on heroic difficulty. Dark Eruption is the tank, is like the soak, right?
No, that's dark. So this is the Dark Eclipse thing where you get Dark Eclipse on you and you don't go in a hole.
Gotcha.
So normal mode already has this nerf. And what it means is that now you're more able to get through the fight without people messing up Dark Eruption. It's still going to kind of truck. If you have multiple people miss, you'll still probably lose people and die. But it's not like one person messing it up is going to wipe the raid. Like, it already isn't quite there. It does like 80% of your health now if you get it wrong. Instead, it's now going to be, you know, doing like 20 or 25% of your health.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So, not again, gets those guilds, those heroic guilds still progressing kind of over the hump. For those mess ups, right, where you just miss a hole. Yeah. It's not an instant wipe, so
and like the just as like to confirm that there are in fact people like progressing this on heroic, I have been pugging a decent bit on my mage, and I have been looking for Rigolon to try and get Entumbra, the dagger. Okay.
Yeah.
And I see pretty consistently when I look on like Tuesday, Wednesday, like Rigolon progression listings for heroic.
Not bad, not bad.
So this is like, there are guilds in this situation for heroic, and it's just like the raid was tuned really high, and the last several bosses like Anduin, Rigolon, and the Jailer really had kind of mythic-ish mechanics, even on heroic.
Yeah. 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 But again, makes it easier. Makes it, you know, hopefully that helps people get over the hump.
And so cool. Let's talk about the Jailer.
I'm so excited about these. I'm excited.
All right. So right off the top, health reductions. Heroic and normal get 15%. Mythic gets 10%.
Yep. Yeah. Which is massive. Like, I like 10% health. Basically, I think you talked about your strat where you get like limited, you know, mechanics. Like you kill it before the first set of adds that spawn right in phase four. Like this is easily you lust, and you might even kill the boss before lust is over in phase four.
Yeah. So it is still worth noting that like the push into phase four is percent based. So you still push in at 15%. So really this is like 1.5% less in phase four, but it means that you're going to get to phase four a lot sooner. Like you're getting to phase four significantly sooner. This probably means that you don't have to heal the boss at all in phase three, where normally now you have to heal him once, or heal Azerite once, Azeroth once. But then there's the next change. Azerite Radiation increased from 3% damage gain per stack to 7% damage gain per stack. So I was talking about, like, we're doing this thing in phase three where we go to three stacks, then we refresh that to six stacks, and that's 24% damage increase. And we carry that over, and the goal is to refresh it right before we go into phase four, so that we have 30 seconds in phase four of having a 24% damage increase while we have bloodlust going. That 24%, instead of being 24%, it's now going to be 42% increased damage. 42% increased damage. So what this means is we're likely going to also start seeing speed stress. This is not going to be a progression thing, I don't think, because the damage on Azerite radiation is still pretty significant. Even there's nerfs to that too that we'll get to in a second. But what we will likely see is people carrying a six stack of Azerite radiation throughout most of the fight in order to do 42% damage increase just the whole way through, skip virtually all of phase two and phase three, and then get into phase four and just, like, you know, push bloodlust and kill the boss.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you'll see a lot more, probably six stacks in P1, right? Like, you'll be able to maybe run like two sets of six stacks in P1.
Yeah.
And just dominate the boss. So yeah, that's huge. And maybe we'll skip a little bit ahead, but yeah, they're also reduced the damage of Surging Azerite by 15% on Mythic. So you can take those six stacks more safely. Just in terms of taking less damage, you're getting those stacks up. So it's a big change. We talk about damage. This is also a healing increase too. So this affects. It's also healing in the same idea. The buff is a damage and healing increase. So it's now you're doing almost 42% additional healing, which again, with the other nerfs that they've done in terms of damage, makes the healing requirement. I mean, I was talking to a couple of people in my guild, like you may actually see like in extreme cases, like a three heal, maybe even a two heal type setup.
Yeah.
On this
boss, I wouldn't be surprised if you're like doing some kind of speed strat shenanigans and like carrying a six stack the whole way through and skipping a lot of mechanics. So the way the boss pushes is at 60%, he will force push from phase one into phase two. And then at 30%, he will force push into phase three. And then at 15%, he pushes into phase four. So if you're carrying this debuff through, you can force push him into phase two at 60% and force push him into phase three at 30% and then force push him into phase four at 15% and just like cut out, like we are already at the point with the other nerfs that they've been in that we are missing like half of the phase three that the first kills did. Right.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
So we're pushing into phase three at like 42%. That's our target in order to do the push we want. Taking 12% off of that, like you're gonna do like one set of blood soaks. You're not even gonna get the phase three torment if you are executing that correctly. I would not be surprised to see like two heal like 6 minute kills or something.
Which would be crazy. Couple other changes we sort of work through. This domination is now triggered at three stacks of tyranny versus two stacks. This is of course whenever it's the lines that come from the holes after you close them. Typically you couldn't have another player over your line, you got mind controlled. Now you can at least eat one other line other than your own and not get mind controlled, which just limits those, like we would lose people to this all the time of just like having people not move enough and get too stacked up. Our tank would get hit a lot of times. Oh my god.
So
the tank gets rooted.
Yeah, that happens with us too. That was probably our number one individual source of deaths aside from like, you know, raid wipes at the end of phase three on Friday. It was just like tyranny either on me while I'm rooted like twice it happened. or as we transition into phase two, when there's 18 lines out and just like an absolute clusterfuck.
Yeah. Yeah. So this gives you a little bit of wiggle room. You can eat a line from another player and not get mind controlled, which will help. Yeah. Those type of wipes.
But wait, there's more.
No, we're not done yet. Decimator no longer includes a knockback on heroic or mythic. So Decimator is when the jailer like throws out his like flail, whatever. If there's a circle, you have to dodge it. But it used to knock back, and there was a couple of timings in phase two and phase three where like you'd get torment, get knocked back, so you didn't want to get knocked in other torments or open holes. Removing this just literally makes those overlaps not like, and the damage Decimator did already wasn't high, So this now becomes a, like, don't stand in the big blue circle and you get past it type of, it's a non-factor now, I'd say.
This is huge. Like, this is huge. This is going to make phase two so much easier. Like you said, it is actually kind of weirdly going to make phase three slightly harder, because if you're doing it now, what you do is you get knocked towards your defile bait. Now you just got to, like, walk to your defile bait like a plebeian.
Yeah.
It's not really making it harder. You're going to have to, like, actually do the movement, but it's like,
phase two wipes now, or you'll never see those, which will be good.
But, like, those Torment Decimator overlaps that you were talking about, those are rough. Those took us a pretty good chunk of time to figure out, like, how we are supposed to, like, spread. And now we're actually doing it well. I was really happy with it on Friday. Like, I said that to our raid after we finished raid for the night. Like, I was really happy because our Torment placement was, like, consistent, so we could do consistent things with the Decimator, and it was really nice. This is going to give you a lot more flexibility to just kind of, like, YOLO Torments around and just not die to the Decimator and be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that'll be nice. We already talked about the damage reduction on Surging Azurite. They also upped the heal from Surging Azurite from 4% a tick to 5% a tick. This will be good because it'll help alleviate some wipes, or maybe, like, you miss a tick or two over the course of trying to heal Azurite over phase one and phase two. Which we'd lose a couple of wipes to that. So
This it actually doesn't heal for 4%.
I know, it's like it's like three,
it's 3.5. Like, it's either 3.3 or 3.5. So this is definitely, like, a rounding thing. So I think it actually is 3.5. Like, maybe it's just rounded up. So maybe this goes to 4.5, or maybe it goes to actual 5, and we will know on Tuesday, I guess.
Yeah, there's a weird rounding with that.
We'll find out on Tuesday, but that's a pretty big change either way. Like you said, just removing a couple of wipes to missing Azeroth heal ticks. Then we have nerfs to all three runes that you get in the fight. So there's three different kinds of runes. In phase one, you have Rune of Damnation. This is the one where you jump in the hole. And the damage on that is going down by 15%. And that's pretty big, because actually one of the easiest ways to wipe in phase one is for somebody to mess up their bomb and just, like, bomb the raid. So 15% less on that is going to mean that you're just going to, like, it'll hurt, but you'll live through it unless you have multiple people doing it. So
I was going to say too, it sounds like this is a flat reduction over all parts of it. So the dot ticks will also help. So the dot and the explosion, the individual takes, also reduced by 15%, which will help any wipes where you get there's a bad overlap in P1 where it's like bombs, torment, into, like, the pull and suck in, and so people who get that are sometimes a little bit low. So
we actually were losing people to rally expiring there, which was really funny. We had a rally up from the tank mechanic, and it was being hit early enough that the rally would expire while people were falling with the bomb. The bomb. And so then they would, like, just die midair.
Yeah.
Or die to falling damage coming down.
Oh God, that's awful. Yeah. We would lose people there. Like the final one in phase two, because we'd go into a six stack right after the suck in. And so, like, people would just be low with everybody moving all over the place. So this will help definitely with that for sure.
Yeah. So this next set of runes is actually Rune of Compulsion in phase two. This is the one that you have to break the mind control shield or the shield in order to remove the mind control. On Heroic, the shield has been reduced by another 35%. It already got nerfed in the last round of nerfs, and now it's been nerfed again. Yeah. This is good. Like, so on Mythic, the only way to really break the shields in time is to have people stack under the boss, and then you throw a spear or an Ursula's Vortex at them and keep them in place and break the shields. On Heroic, expecting people to consistently, like, stack under the boss for that mechanic is just a lot. Because, again, if you don't break the shield, they die.
Yeah.
So, like, that's just another one of those things where, like, on Mythic, I think that's fine. On Heroic, it's another part of the reason that people just don't pug the boss on Heroic.
Yeah. Like, you coordination. Yeah.
You really can't pug Heroic Jailer.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, it's tough. But no, this will definitely help in terms of just like, yeah, the damage requirement. You don't have to get everybody right under the boss. You can sort of single target people out, which will be helpful. So,
Oh no, I got it backwards. Sorry. Rune of Compulsion. Is that phase three? Is that the Helios Orb? Because it says Rune of Domination will be cast 3 times during phase 2 on Mythic difficulty. Was 4 casts.
Weird. Maybe they changed it. Compulsion is the mind control.
I'm pulling up our log now so I can actually look
at it. And Domination is the shield. So,
all right.
Hang that on. Has to be split evenly.
Debuffs, Rune of Compulsion is... Something's weird here.
Yeah, I think they just
Rune of Compulsion is phase 2.
Yeah, I think they just messed up the note in that.
Yeah, Rune of Domination is phase 3. I think they swapped those.
Yeah, I think that's what they did. But
yeah, so Rune of Compulsion phase 3, So the phase 2 one, maybe, I don't know how to interpret this anymore. Maybe it's supposed to be Rune of Domination, because like you don't get 4 casts of Rune of Domination or Rune of Compulsion in phase 3. You get 1. You maybe get 2 if you're like doing the old strat.
Yeah.
But you get, realistically, you get 1. So I'm thinking it's actually that the absorb is reduced on the phase 3 absorb. And then the phase 2 absorb happens less frequently on Mythic, which doesn't fix the heroic problem. But maybe the heroic one is already nerfed enough that it doesn't need more. I don't know. Yeah. I haven't tried to bug heroic.
Yeah, that's weird. You're right. That's weird. Maybe they just messed up the naming on it.
Or maybe it's both supposed to be Rune of Domination. Who knows?
I guess we'll find out when the
actual... We'll find out on Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly.
But wait, there's still more.
I feel like we've been talking about this forever. Like, I want to stop. So the next thing is Shattering Blast, which is the tank mechanic in phase two. Tank mechanic. Has been reduced. Damage has been reduced by 20% on all difficulties. This will be a huge help, particularly for us, just because our warrior.
Warrior is super bad for that.
Our warrior would always die, would just be very low on one where like he would run out to a far pylon to destroy it, and he couldn't get back because the Surging Azurite were going off. And it was like that time period of him running out and then trying to get back in where he would dip very, very low.
Yeah. Like Brewmaster is one of the better ones for this. Like Brewmaster and Protection Paladin are actually pretty good for this. Because Brewmaster, you just hit a cooldown and you hit Celestial Brew, and then like it takes long enough for you to tick out to the dot plus stagger that you can make it back to the boss and get healed and you're okay. Protection Paladin, you just heal yourself because you're half a healer, so you just heal yourself.
Yeah.
Warrior doesn't have either of those things. Like they go out there and they hit shield block and then they just have this massive dot ticking on them, and the dot just will kill them.
Yeah. Yeah, so he would always get externals as he ran out, and then like we would have healer, like we would have myself and one other healer basically run as soon as the Surging Azurite was over. Like we'd move over there. The boss was going to move that way anyway, but we'd move over there early just so we could top him off.
Yeah,
This will help there. The other thing coming in is Chains of Anguish, which is the chain break ability in what it's phase 4 for sure. I think it's just phase 4, or is it?
No, this is phase 3.
Oh, sorry, phase 3. I'm sorry.
So there's two different related ones here. Chains of Anguish is the damage that goes on the people that are chained. And there's another one, 2 lines down, this Chain Breaker that is from breaking the chains.
Gotcha. Yeah, so Chains of Anguish damage has been reduced by 30% on Mythic difficulty, which is helpful because those with the other mechanics that happen, I think, during the chains, these people were already very dangerously low and needed special attention. So nice that there's a damage, like you'll lose basically less chain people, right?
And if they die, their chain break happens immediately, which was an easy way to wipe. Like if someone breaks their chain as part of like a planned, like we're breaking the chain now, and then that causes another person that has been chained to die, you get a second chain break immediately. And outside of major cooldowns, it probably just kills the raid.
Exactly. Yeah. So that damage was reduced. And then just in heroic, the actual chain break ability was reduced by 20%. Again, less damage when those chains do break, which is always helpful. That's raid damage. And then the final, we are finally done. And so this makes me think that the rune of domination change, I don't know. In any event, dominating will, which is the absorb put on by rune of domination in phase three. So like that rune, if you guys don't know, it puts a circle around, it marks a couple players, puts a circle around you, and you need people to soak it. Those people get an absorb on you. And if that absorb is not healed off in time, you get mind controlled. But what they've done is they've reduced the amount of the absorb by 15% on heroic and mythic difficulties. Again, this just helps with the amount of the healing requirements, particularly in phase three.
Yeah. So I think this is like, I think it is supposed to be rune of domination twice in phase, in phase two, like the healing absorb got reduced in phase two. Cause there's no dominating will. You're right. Is a separate ability in the log. Like dominating will is the absorb that you get from rune of compulsion in phase rune of domination in phase three.
Yeah.
So I think that those are both supposed to read rune of compulsion.
Compulsion, yeah. So less cast in phase two, and then also less healing. So less mind, which again, one less cast of rune of the mind control in phase two is also a damage increase, right?
Right.
So you have
especially
less
if it's the one that's like real the really bad over like the one at the very end of the fight.
Yeah.
Where it goes like. It's, you know, you do your surging Azerite, you get charms, but they can't actually move in because of the tainted Azerite under the boss, and you get torments and a knockback all like together.
And then you have to move the boss for the start of phase three.
Yeah. And so what we do for that is like each of the Azerite teams, like if you get a rune in your team, you are responsible for making sure they do not jump off the edge. Like they just kind of like get towards Azeroth, and then their team is responsible for making sure they don't jump off the edge, and the ranged will help clear those runes if that's where they end up spawning. But that just ended up being easier than trying to get people under the boss for this fucking surging Azerite torment decimator.
Oh, it's just
like overlap.
Yeah. Awful, awful, awful. Yeah, awful overlap there. But no, that is, and I think that's all of the nerfs, right? So,
oh my God.
it's a ton. I mean, I think like we talked about at the start, I think the big, like to be fair, I think the largest change, right, in my mind is the Azerite radiation stacks, right?
Yeah, like I agree.
Stacking
actually,
almost.
I don't know if it's definitely one of the most impactful. It's up there. I think the decimator not knocking back might actually be bigger for progression on this boss.
That is
because there's a lot of really rough decimator overlaps. Like you think about you think about like phase four, you get meteor cleave into decimator, and then you do a move, and that decimator is fine. But then you get torments into another decimator. But now there's like the file, it goes like bomb, torment, decimator, like all in a row, very short span of time. If that decimator is baited in a weird spot, it can be really difficult to not get knocked into a hole or knocked into defile or knocked into Azeroth or off the edge. You know, there's many ways to just like instantly wipe the raid there.
Yeah. Which I guess now that's without the knockback, your range positioning, at least in phase four, is much less impactful.
Yeah, I mean, it still matters because that's where the rubble spawns, right? You want to make sure you don't get the rubble spawn in a bad spot. But it's way less bad to like have the rubble spawn in a bad spot without the knock, because like you can then like, okay, the knock is happening. You can just hit roar, you know, hit your movement ability, hit blink, hit roar, hit roll, and just go and get away from where the rubble is going to spawn and be okay and not worry about like, am I going to be like mid-roll and the knock happens and I get yeeted into this hole that I'm rolling past.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, you're right. I think that the knockback is huge. I think the radiation I think will be big too, but yeah, you might be right. I think too, like, I mean, all these changes have like a ton of impact just in terms of like the random wipes you may get. Like even like the tyranny stacks is going to be big. Cause like we talked about like your tank might not get mind control. You might not get a bad mind control just because of positioning. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the heal is nice. You can miss a tick or two of the heal now because you'll make that up in it being.
So you can already, in order to do the like only heal once in phase three strat, you can miss two total ticks of healing in the fight.
Gotcha.
And that has Azeroth run out of health at the same time as you get the second desolation beam in phase three. And if you're already planning on not soaking that desolation beam, you don't need more health than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like that, this takes it from being like two ticks to being like five ticks, you know, maybe four. Like you could basically miss an entire beam now and be at the same point.
Be fine. Yeah.
Yeah. So Berthier in chat says, if you ask me, I think bosses have too many mechanics nowadays. It is too much for the average player. You can make a fight still challenging with fewer mechanics like Sludge Fist, a patchwork fight with a tight berserk timer is more fun as a healer. I kind of agree. Like, I agree that some of these bosses have too many mechanics. I don't know that I would necessarily, like, I think Sludge Fist was a lot of fun. But I wouldn't want every boss necessarily to be Sludge Fest, right?
Yeah, and I think there's a like the way that I view fights like the Jailer or like Sylvanas or any of the end bosses, right? The later bosses is that the number of mechanics don't matter, generally speaking. It's the dance you do with those mechanics, right? So like the idea is like you can have a fight that has 10 mechanics, but like there's like a set time they go off and there's like a dance you learn with those mechanics and at that point, it's fine. I think when you get to the other thing too is that the mechanics also like work together in terms of like that dance, meaning like, like in the Jailer's aspect of it, like we talk about the knockback moving us for the rubble and then moving you from like a defile, right? And using it that way. That's interesting when mechanics interlace. Uninteresting mechanics would be like Pantheon, where it's literally just a vomit of like multiple things happening. And it's just, it's hard because of the amount of things that are happening all at once, not because the mechanics sort of play on each other. So, I mean, I
do think there is a point where like the number of mechanics do matter because you reach a point, like if you imagine a 10-minute fight and every 15 seconds, there's just a new mechanic, right? That's obviously harder to do than something where, you know, you do all the different like combinations of overlaps of like four abilities, like you do on the Jailer in phase one and phase two, where you kind of have these same four abilities that are going off, but they go off in different orders each time. So they overlap in slightly different ways. So like one time you get torments, then you do the bombs, then you do the lines. Another time you get the bombs, then the torments, then the lines. Another time you get the bombs, then the lines, and then you get the torments. And that's, you know, different variations on the same thing that asks you to handle the mechanics slightly differently. I do think the Jailer has like kind of too many mechanics. I don't think it's like that far off, but I do think that there's just like in phase two in particular, like the overlap of like knock, torment, surging Azerite, like the tainted Azerite stuff, and the mind controls and the tank mechanics.
Yeah.
All happening is like,
well, and the movement, I think like that's one mechanic that like gets overlooked, but it's still a mechanic. Yeah. It's like, even in phase two, there's like the one, I always called it the squeeze movement, where like there's two pillars up and you have to get to the other side of the pillars, at least in the way we did it. So it's like, there's a very small amount of time to get through there. Plus torment is coming. So it's like, you need to move your whole raid in through, spread out, and then collapse all within like a 10 second window, which isn't a ton of time, or even less time. So
I feel like actually, so they effectively like kind of removed Decimator as a mechanic.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that does actually make the fight, like it makes the fight easier. I think it also makes the fight less frustrating and generally better. I wouldn't mind if it regained the knockback in phase three and phase four, personally, if that was just like a thing that happened. But it definitely is going to make phase one and phase two nicer to progress. And just like, I think I do think that like there's definitely room for complexity. Like the Nathrius has a ton of mechanics, right? And each phase is like very distinct and you do different things in them. And there's some things that are the same, like the I don't remember the name of the mechanic, the slicing sword mechanic from phase two that carries into phase three, and you like do it differently because it overlaps with different mechanics, and that's cool. I definitely like, yeah, I think that there is some truth to like there being just too many mechanics, and that contributes to stuff like needing weak auras to get through a fight.
I mean, I would say
it's not the only thing, but it's definitely some like a motivation for like having a weak aura is like there's too many things for me to actually track myself, so I need a weak aura to help me.
Right. Yeah. And I think too, like there's something to say of like you can have a lot of mechanics, but if they're not overly complex, that's fine. It's when you get into that idea of like having a bunch of mechanics that require very specific things to be done.
Yeah.
Or you wipe is like unfun, right? And like particularly like I think the one thing that made Jailer at least nice was like some of the hardest mechanics I think in like phase two and phase three, at least were positioning things, right? And you could practice those positionings before actually pulling the boss. Meaning like
And they were consistent, right? Like you could bait the Decimator and you could bait the Defile, and nothing was like spell queued. The order was fixed, so you could actually like do a dry run, like go over to the corner where you're gonna do the phase three start stuff, and like do a dry run of like, okay, we do our Decimator, then we run over here, and then we do the Desolation Beam Soak, and we do our heal, and we do our bait, and we take the gateway, and that's
right.
That's the dance, and you can go and you can practice that. So I think you're 100% right about that.
Yeah.
I do think actually the designers of this fight underestimated how difficult like spatial awareness and positioning stuff is.
It's, and the fact that they continue to use line of sight as some sort of like mechanic is like so dumb. Like,
So imagine this. Okay. Imagine if on this fight, line of sight were still a mechanic. But imagine if on your screen, like over your head, you got like big, scary red eyes when you were in line of sight of the boss, and they went away or they closed when you weren't in line of sight of the boss. How much easier does that make phase one?
It's still hard. As a healer, it's still hard because like my problem is I can't heal people out of line of sight. Like I can move myself
now,
out of line of sight.
Now you don't lose people to being in line of sight of the boss. Basically,
that's fair.
The point is like now they have a clear thing. So the question is not how well can your players judge whether they're in line of sight of the boss.
Yeah, that's true.
How well can they actually get out of line of sight of the boss? Like it's an execution thing versus a like knowledge. Like can you like spam a spell and try and see if you're in range or in line of sight?
That would help. I think it's just line of sight as a mechanic in WoW is like overplayed. And like, to be fair, even if we think thematically, like the Jailer casts a spell to dominate your mind, and the only thing you have to do is walk around a corner. Like what the hell here? Like, what did we learn from Anduin then? Cause like Anduin is like, we like had to like break him out, and he was like, I know how to handle the domination magic. You just walk around the corner. Like it's so dumb. It's like, it's so stupid. It's like, hey, don't be like, it's like, don't look in Medusa's eyes and you won't turn to stone. So it's just like, don't let the Jailer see you and you don't get mind controlled. Like that's how you get around it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's actually hilarious.
I just hate line of sight mechanics in general. And I think thematically they could have done something slightly different, still using the bombs, but not using the pillars. I think that would have been nicer.
So. I think personally the lesson I would like for them to take from the Jailer is actually just that having a lot of different mechanics that ask you to do like spatial awareness and positioning things overlapping at the same time is actually way harder than they gave it credit for, because that's another big reason that like you can't pug this boss on heroic. Like it's maybe okay for that to be a mythic thing, right? Some degree that I think is okay for mythic, but on heroic the like I guess it's like some combination of like it being literally just a death if you make a mistake with your spatial, like if you're not spatially aware enough to know that you're going to get knocked into that hole,
you're
just dead. Where if it were like if they toned that down a little bit, maybe more holes were closed on heroics that were easier to like not get knocked into a hole, or something like that. Just like I think they underestimated how hard that is for a lot of people.
I would agree. Yeah, I would agree with that. So I mean, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we get a couple expansion break of like the whatchamacallit, the line of sight mechanics. We haven't seen them really since
Ajara.
But Ajara was the last big one, so.
And Ajara, at least the jailer, to the jailer's credit, it's only phase one. It's only part of phase one. And then it goes away and you don't have to do line of sight anymore. Ajara was like line of sight the whole fight and it was awful.
No, agreed. Agreed. But yeah, I think that is everything. We're a little over time, but I think we nailed it all. I mean, there was a lot of nerfs, and I mean, I would say we'll leave it with like, congrats on all of your jailer kills next week if you are currently progressing on the boss. Because I mean, with these, this should be, if you have any amount of time into the boss, I'd say if you're over 100, probably 150 pulls, you have a kill next week, you know, within your raid time for sure. So
I wouldn't say for sure, but it's definitely possible. Whereas like without the nerfs, it definitely wouldn't be.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
So that is it for the show today. Thank you all for watching and or listening. If you enjoyed this podcast and you want to support it and the other work that we do over on the Peak of Serenity, you can do that over on Patreon at patreon.com/Peak of Serenity. And of course, we would invite you to come and join the Discord. The lounge is, I think, currently talking, the Brew Lounge is currently talking about F1 racing because it's Sunday.
Always. Yep.
Always. Mm-hmm. But the other lounges are less infested by F1 drama and should be more fun this time of day. But all of them are great. There's a lot of helpful people in all the questions channels. And it's in general a great time. So we would invite you to come and join the Discord. Yes. But that is it for the show today. Thank you all for listening. And we will see you next week.
Bye.